Hey everybody, and welcome to the big centenary. It's episode 100 of Bucks UK TV. We're going to try and keep the two episode pattern going for this week. We're going to have a series of people coming in, coming out. They're going to talk about the Eagles game. Next time we're going to talk about the Saints game. We're going to reminisce about 100 podcasts of Bucks UK, talk about where the club is, all of those sorts of things. But first of all, I can't help but be drawn to the backdrop and the tropical nature of Ian and Ellie. Nice to see you both.
Hello, good to see you.
So, I mean, we can probably work it out, but tell us where you are and what's been going on.
Yeah, well, hard to believe, but yes, we're just outside Tampa, just south of Tampa on Anna Maria Island, enjoying the weather, enjoying the game, which we'll obviously get onto in a minute. And my daughter Ellie's here with me as well, and she's
Fantastic.
been on three scuba dives so far. So, yeah. Pretty good time so far.
Amazing. Now, Ellie, you are a Bucks UK member, so you're absolutely entitled to be here. Maybe for people at home, tell them a little bit about kind of how you got into the Bucks through the family connection and some of your sort of earliest memories of the Bucks.
Well, I definitely have my dad to blame for that one. So we come here a lot on holiday, and because he supported them, I guess I fell into it as well.
And kind of do you know any particular players that you like or any particular games or memories that really stand out for you?
I mean, one memory that really stands out is at a pre-season game, I got to meet Cameron Bray, Adam Humphries, Gerald McCoy. So that's probably the main memory that
So that's
stands
fantastic. Yeah, so clearly there are some, as well as the disadvantages of Ian being your dad, there's clearly some perks sometimes as well.
out. You, Ellie's been able to name drop those with her friends at university who are big NFL fans. So she's got pictures on the sidelines at Raymond James Stadium with all three of those.
Massive kudos. So maybe both of you then just kind of we'll go back and we'll talk about the Eagles game. We'll get onto the X and O's in due course. But just the Eagles is an intense rivalry for the Bucks. Just kind of the atmosphere, being in the stadium as an event. What was it like?
I mean, there was a lot of Eagles fans, but I'd say Bucks fans put up a good fight.
If not on the pitch, then at least off it. I agree.
Almost literally, actually, though, because there were a few Eagles fans around us and a rather avid Bucks fan right behind us who launched into them at one stage. So it got a little bit tasty. And look, but I was there obviously to help out the Bucks contingent.
I'm glad. And
But there was,
kind of noise, it sounds like it was noisy. Sorry, go on, Ian.
yeah, and I was just going to say that it was kind of weird in terms of the number of Eagles fans there. I think there was something like 20, 25,000 Eagles fans. So it was a bit like going to a kind of cup final at a neutral venue or a Super Bowl, where there's almost equal numbers of each fans all intermingled together. So whilst to an extent it's a little bit disappointing as the home team, actually gave rise to a really good atmosphere and really good rivalry between the fans as well.
Brilliant, thank you. So I'm afraid the hosting average age has just rocketed to the sky. Ellie's got off to do something fun, and instead we've got Tim and Gary. So welcome, guys.
Afternoon all. Hello.
After it's evening for some of us, but clearly you're still in the tropical climes. Now, I mean, the whole build up to this week is no coincidence that we were playing the Eagles, as it was the week that we were honouring Ronde Barber being inducted into the Pro Hall of Fame. Now, am I right in thinking you got a chance to have a bit of a sort of Odeon Leicester Square style premiere, didn't you?
We did, yes. The film about Rondé, The Legacy of Rondé Barber, I think it's called, is on Buccaneers.com. But Brian Ford kindly invited us to the premiere in a really, really lovely old theatre in Tampa. So we got to see that live. Even cooler than that, there was any number of current and ex-Bucks players. Baker Mayfield was probably about 5 or 6 rows in front of us, along with several others. Warwick Dunn was there as well. It was an awesome evening.
Yeah, I'll echo that. It was great to get the invite, and it was just a real good almost, if you remember back in the day, guys, This Is Your Life. It was really like that. And the video, if you haven't had a chance to see it, it's well worth an hour and about 20 minutes of your time. It was really, really well done. But the evening was, it was very good to be there and representing the Bucks UK, of course.
There was also then the film, a question and answer session with Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, and Rondé, of course. Warren Sapp being Warren Sapp dominated it, but he was very funny.
Yeah, it was an excellent evening.
Warren Sapp, the football coach, I believe now, but that's a different story for a different day. So, I mean, just some, obviously, we've all known Rondé ever since he sort of first came into his creamsicle diaper, wandering onto the field for the Bucks. I mean, anyone not new to this, hiding under a rock, won't know, but what does Rondé mean to Bucks, and I guess to us as Bucks UK fans?
A class act. On and off the field, an absolute class act. Both during the film night and also during his Hall of Fame ring speech on Sunday, he couldn't have been more complimentary about the Bucks and what Tampa means to him. It was great to hear a man speak so passionately about the town and the supporters.
Fantastic.
The key thing that Tim says is it's on and off the field. I think to be a class act, you know, you've got to be a decent player, but you've got to do the right thing off the field. And that absolutely is one big part. And as Tim said, his speech at half time on Monday night was very moving as well. Said from the heart, I think.
Yeah, and the comment, thanks to all the Philly fans for coming out to support me. That really went down well. Even the Philly fans in front of us were laughing at
that. And applauding. He got a lot of applause from Philly fans, in fairness to them, which you may not have expected. You would have expected the general booing and so on that you were getting Philly, but they were very respectful towards everything that was going on.
Brilliant. So, well, obviously, Ian...
Shout out to them. They were great.
We don't want to give them too much credit. So, Ian, obviously, you were obviously talking about how great Rondé was off the field. Unfortunately, we now have to start thinking about things on the field. It probably wasn't the result we wanted, possibly the result we deserved. Kind of just as an overall reflection, 25-11 sounds close, but it probably didn't feel that close in Raymond James Stadium.
Well, I don't know. I think the Buccaneers stayed in the game, didn't they? Philly are clearly a very, very strong football team. And the way I kind of summarise it is that they were just that little bit better than us in every single department. So, you know, right across the board, offence, defence, special teams, they just have that extra edge, that extra bit of skill. You know, at 25-11, at 7 or 8 minutes to go, we have the ball and we're driving. So it did feel that there was a chance of getting back in the game, but there was a crucial 3rd and 13, I think, that Philly converted, which obviously put the game out of reach. But you know, it didn't feel that we were overrun. It felt like we were beaten by the better team.
Yeah, Gary, would you agree with that?
Totally agree with that. Yeah, we all know, we've been watching the game long enough to know that the game is won and lost in the trenches. If you get bullied in the trenches, you're not going to win the game. And, you know, they were better and worse, not just in the trenches, but in every department, with the exception of the punter, I suspect. We got absolutely zero pressure on Jalen Hurts. Baker was, constantly under pressure. It was, you know, they're just better. Ian summed it up beautifully. They were just better than us in the department.
Yeah, I would add to that that if I'm being brutally honest, the Eagles never got out of third gear. They didn't need any more than that to beat us. They knew. I will shout out to them. Their trench line play, their offensive line and defensive line, as Gary said, were absolutely dominant. Absolutely. You didn't hear Shaq Barrett's name. Joe Tryon-Shenker had a great game last week. Now he's playing up against the real men and heard of. You know, you had people like Winfield and David making tackles. 8-9 yards downfield on DeAndre Swift because nobody laid a hand on him. We were getting bullied around. I will use the word bullied, and it really was that much in the trenches early on. And you won't win it, unless you win a game up front, you will not win the game overall. So we're always under that constant pressure of that team.
So we're partway through talking about the game, but I think the other, we can't sort of turn a blind eye to the fact that this is our 100th episode. So just as a sort of halfway point, here is a quick look back at the first 199 episodes. I promise you, it's only 3 minutes long. Just some of the highlights, some of the guests that we've had, and then we'll carry on talking about the game. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode one of the Bucks UK podcast. We're not sure if it's a podcast or a vodcast or a YouTube channel or whatever it is. It's a show, and welcome.
Can see we've got a very special guest for you all this week. We've got the legend that is Simeon Rice.
We are joined by Scott Smith. He's been with the Bucks ever since the internet was in black and white. Neil Reynolds, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm loving the title of this podcast. It's fantastic.
We have ex-cricketer turned commentator, NFL host, and most importantly, he supports the best team in the NFL, which of course is the Buccaneers. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please welcome Charles Dagnall. Hello, Charles. How are you doing?
Hello. Nice to see you.
And we are so lucky to have Casey with us this week. Hello, Casey.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
We are delighted to welcome to the Bucks UK podcast, Hamish Hamilton. Hamish, hello, welcome.
They don't come much more sporty than Alex Good. He's a professional rugby player with over 300 appearances for Saracens since 2008, which includes 5 Premiership titles, 3 European Champions Cup wins, oh, and 21 caps for England. Oh, and the 2019 European Player of the Year Award. We are joined by Gene Thomas of Buck What You Heard podcast.
Okay.
Yeah!
Oh, come on! Yes, Bucks! We did it! Super Bowl 55! The Buccaneers did it! Welcome, everyone! Episode 27, or as we're calling it, episode 55.
This is our 33rd Club Awards.
Just like the start, going back to college, really, in the 2015 draft.
Okay, so we'll dive straight into the questions. Sure. So we'll start just by getting a bit of background on you, if we can.
By a very special guest this week. I don't mean Dom. I don't mean Graham. I do, of course, mean Keith. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. Looking forward to being on the show. Thank you.
The star of the show is undoubtedly John Magrino. Welcome. We are joined by Tampa sports legend, Rock Riley. Thank you for joining us.
Gentlemen, how are you?
From ABC Action News, sports anchor and reporter Kyle Berger. Kyle, welcome. Thank you for joining us. From Pewter Report, JC Allen. JC, hello, welcome. How are you?
How are we doing, guys?
We are thrilled to welcome from CBS Sports, award-winning writer for our UK viewers. He covers football for our US viewers. That is, of course, soccer. And he just happens to be a Buccaneer fan. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Roger Gonzalez. Roger, hello. How are you today?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
So, Ian, in terms of, you know, offense, defense, where should we start? Where should we pick it up?
Well, I think, you know, we were just talking about, you know, the high level and winning games in the trenches. Mm-hmm. But I guess the other kind of almost happening thing is about establishing the run game, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And they did that and we didn't. And I think in terms of the offense, it was really as simple as that in my mind. We obviously failed to establish any sort of meaningful run game. I don't think Mayfield was particularly bad. He made some good completions. I think there were a few drop catches that otherwise would have been caught. But just drawing quickly a parallel with the Eagles, I just remember a couple of throws that Jalen Hurts threw that they were just pinpoint accuracy. From the stands, it looked like it was going to be an interception, but he got it over the defender and into the hands of the receiver. So that for me was the main kind of
Yeah, it's really interesting because Yeah, the Bucks had less than 200 yards of total offense. But actually, Baker Mayfield ends up with a higher quarterback rating than Jalen Hurts. So, I mean, Gary, I mean, it's hard to say it was the offense's fault, but Baker was fine because the quarterback is such a crucial position. So kind of, I mean, where do you think on offense, where does the blame lie? I think Ian talked about the run game. Is that the key to you, or is it the passing, the drop catches?
Well, I think on Monday night, it's probably all of the above. I mean, they really did try to establish the run game. The problem is it's a bit too predictable. And because the offensive line aren't dominating their individual opponent, you know, we couldn't get anything going. That then forces you to pass because you're behind. And as Ian said, there's drop catches. Mike Evans dropped a couple of catches that there's no way that he would normally drop. He made up for it with that amazing one-handed catch that's made all the highlight reels. But, you know, you can't go dropping the bread and butter stuff. So,
there is some blame on Mike Evans in terms of dropping the couple of catches in the first half. Yeah, he did himself. But we are using Chris Godwin in totally the wrong way. That gentleman does not catch a ball more than 4 yards down the field. Now, you can't tell me how a top-paid offensive player, not just receiver, but our top-paid offensive player is only in the game to catch 2 yard passes. And I'm a big Chris Godwin fan. He's got the best hands on the team, hands down. And we do not move him down the field. We do not move him round. I said this last year. He just plays in that little slot role and will catch a short passes, then he's expected to beat somebody. We've got to start to free him up a bit. Cade Otton is starting to regress now. He cannot catch the ball at this moment. So we are struggling with options down the field outside of Mike Evans. Unfortunately, Devin Tompkins, Raheem Jarrett, and so on are not big enough down the field to take on some of these guys.
I think that's interesting. Let's flip to the other side of the ball. I think one of you mentioned about the pressure being the key and maybe the difference in getting pressure. So I'm just looking here. We had four quarterback hurries, three tackles for a loss, and you held a quality team to 25 points. So I think you can probably make the case either way. Maybe, Tim, if we start with you then, and we'll go back the other way. On defense, kind of what were the keys for you?
We bent, but we didn't break. There were lots and lots of big plays by that Philly offense, and they just blew it at the end. It was the D. Delaney interception. Jalen Hurts fell over his own feet, or maybe Kenneth Gainwell, I'm not sure. He fell over one of them for an easy sack. They shot themselves in the foot a little bit because they knew the game was there for the taking. But we just gave up too many plays, but then in the red zone, we just shut it down. So if you're going to take a positive, yeah, they scored 25. They won the game comfortably. It could have been a few more if that defense hadn't stepped up to the mark when it needed to right at the end.
It's really interesting. I think I'm glad you flagged that red zone defense. It kind of felt like it was a Dr. Zion McCollum and Mr. Hyde kind of sometimes in terms of where some of the players were hot and cold. I mean, Gary, Tim's talked about chunk plays, you know, so every now and then the Philly would break it for a sort of a decent gain, and it's hard to get off the field when that happens. Do you think it was about pressure? Was it the back end?
No, I think Tim probably got it right for once. It's Philly shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, on the Dee Delaney interception, they marched it all the way down the field and get intercepted on the 2 yard line. The defense actually played, you know, not too bad. We were in that game on the scoreboard at least, and you know, really until just before half time. And it was the defense that kept us in it.
I guess
it's pressure. We just never got any pressure at all on Jalen.
And I guess, Ian, then just to round off the defense, that pressure, was that personnel? Was that matchup? I mean, coaching-wise, it felt like we were a little bit less aggressive than maybe we have been in the opening couple of games.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think there's always a big risk of being aggressive where Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. So I actually felt we contained him reasonably well. I thought, as the others said, the defense as a whole were pretty good. And I can't find any particular weaknesses on the defensive side, because we've got to remember this is a team that was the NFC champions last year. They're even better now. I mean, AJ Brown on offense in particular. So yeah, I wasn't disappointed in the defense at all.
I want to add one thing here. You mentioned play calling, where we had the safety on our own 1 yard line. Everybody knew it was going to be a run up the backside of the guard. And I know they tried to make a yard to try and get a bit more space, if I can put it that way. But just throw a little bit of play action in it. We got two good catching wide receivers. Just give them the chance. If it falls incomplete, you can always run it again, second down. But everybody, if you look at the play, there were 8 or 9 defenders right on that goal line. And we hadn't won an offensive battle.
It's true, actually. And it's a good segue into special teams, because if I'm Bill Belichick, I'd probably punt at that point. There's a case to be made of just get out of a hole, because it's fantastic to get a turnover. Did his foot or the ball touch the pylon on the way down? Should it have been a touchback? We could talk all day, but talking about kicking, I have to come to Gary. He's a fellow fan of the kicking game. He knows what he likes. He likes what he knows. And I think we liked special teams generally.
I think our special teams have been, really quite good this year. What can you say about Jake Kamada other than just fantastic things? The guy is, the best weapon we have, quite frankly. We've got a very solid kicker now as well. Yes, I know we had one blocked the other week, but apart from that, he's been pretty good. I don't think we've caught a kickoff in all three games because, they've put it through the end zone. So the kickoff has really been taken out of the game in many ways. I've got on here ad nauseum about the return game. We've never had a return game for, 20-odd years. So
I guess it's a little bit I don't quite understand. You guys know the game, special teams, much better than I. But they got some really good punt returns. Kamada kicks it a long way downfield. But that just gives the receiver so much more time to pick his route, see who's coming towards it. So, my question for you guys, as much as anything, is should he actually be just kicking a bit higher, getting better hang time, so that the Bucs players are further downfield when the guy catches
it? I don't disagree with that, but I would rather, I've watched him now the last 2 weeks, and I love watching punters play for some reason. He has put the ball twice in 2 games I've seen, over 80 yards in the air and 78 yards in the air. Not bouncing, just total clearance of 80 yards. Now, if you can stop a return game of even making 15, 20 yards, your net average is way above the league average. This guy is absolutely brilliant, to the point of his shirt might be bought.
I was tempted. If I was a more svelte man, I think my throwback choice would have been Kamada.
I think it was after the safety, wasn't it? He gets the free kick.
It almost went for a touchback.
It's
prolific.
So my question is could we be using him a little bit more effectively?
I come back to many, many years ago. We took a punter from Atlanta called, I think his name was Dan Straczynski, if I remember right.
Yes, it was.
And he was good.
Said that the reason we got him was because he hit it really high and he got really good hang time. So he might not be kicking it as far, but by the time the receiver's caught it, he's either had fair catch it or he's going to get nailed as soon as he does, so there's no return.
Yes.
And there is absolutely an argument saying that Jake Kamada is too good. In fact, I said that to the guy on my right in the stadium on Monday. He's kicking it too far.
I can't believe we're having this long a conversation about Punter, but I will say he can also drop in on a dime when he needs to. The problem is he is kicking from his own 10, 20 yard line a lot of the time, rather than halfway where they expected him to drop it 50 yards in the air and drop it on the 5 yard line, which he can also do. The boy is very good. But special teams, yeah. Excellent.
Well, before I go off for some reason, I've got a hankering for a hazy IPA for some reason. So before I go off and find something, I just one final thing. Obviously, this is podcast episode 100. For those, and this all started in COVID. This was just a way of, as a UK fan club that just wanted to keep being fans and finding a way of to keep meeting up and being together. Maybe just if you can, one of your sort of abiding memories of the podcast over the 3 and something years that we've been doing this, just either a guest or a memory, something that you would just sort of say, actually, you know, kind of this is what I remember most about the podcast. Maybe, Ian, if we could start with you.
I'm afraid we're into kind of quite general one. I think it's just the overall quality of them that they started, I think, very high, and it's just been maintained throughout and improved as we've had different guests. I think the range of special guests has been really good, because obviously some of them have been players, ex-players, but some of them have been rugby players, cricket commentators who are Bucks fans as well. Oh, we have a guy on that does the halftime show at the Super Bowl. So yeah, we've had a good range of guests, plus all the journalists as well. So yeah, I think it's the fact that it's still fresh, you know, after 100 episodes. There's still new stuff to talk about, new people to get on.
What I would add to that, Ian is absolutely right with the guests, but it's the Bucks UK ability to draw those guests in as well. We are not a Mickey Mouse outfit in this respect. Yeah. You know, my abiding memory will be, and this will be one of my favourite ones, is asking Ali Marpet first up to talk me through the Super Bowl play when Leonard Fournette scored. I'll remember that forever. So I asked his dad if he would let me do it. He said, don't know. And he'd love to talk about it. So that will always be my abiding memory of these. But it's also great to talk to all the UK fans around who watches it. You know, I don't see you guys. I live in the valleys. We don't get to see each other very often, so it's good for that respect as well.
It's really good. Putting faces to names, absolutely. And Gary?
Yeah, I echo exactly what these two guys have said. The standard started pretty high, and it certainly hasn't dropped. I have to a big shout-out to you, Kieran, because honestly, you are so good at what you do. Quite frankly, you should do it professionally. Forget all this town planning nonsense. Go into TV.
Hashtag presenter.
My abiding memory is just the way that the Bucks UK has come on. And in many ways, it's through the podcast. And the one thing I love, you know, the watch parties as an example. The one thing I love is knowing that, number one, I'm not the only Bucks fan in the country, as I thought I was back in 1986. But just seeing the passion of the people that come on, you know, it is just off the charts.
That's we're it. I mean, first and foremost, we're a fan club. We're a members club. We all love the Bucks. We want to come together and talk about Bucks. And if anyone else stateside or anywhere else wants to join in, you're welcome.
Can I just add one other thing? I wore a Devil white shirt to the game over the last couple of weeks with the Bucks Munich patch on it. The number of comments I've had about that and the impact that you went to Munich, yeah? What's the Bucks UK bit? And these Americans really love talking about it.
Fantastic.
Just to put a bit of balance on Gary's comment about you, Cody, he's on his 7th can of IPA.
Well, that's it. So the yard arm and all of that sort of thing, the sun's up, yeah. Swung over it and fallen down the other side. So before we say goodbye there, see, it wouldn't be 100 episodes without just giving our club president, Phil Jones, just a chance to say something. So we've just dropped a little bit of a recording in, and because he just wants to say something too. Phil, as you'll have seen there, Tim, Gary and Ian having a fantastic time stateside, but we couldn't let 100 episodes go by without talking to El Presidente. So kind of what does the podcast mean to the club? How's it gone, and what's your take on things?
Well, we started 3 years ago, as you said, during COVID, as a way of keeping in touch with all our different fans throughout the UK and stateside. And I don't think any of us could have actually dreamt how successful it would actually be. I mean, I remember the brainchild of you and Dave telling me about these podcasts, because everybody knows how technical I am. And it's the whole thing has just grown into this really professional and very warming way that we actually reach out to our own fans and to the fans stateside. You know, and when you start looking at all the guests that we've attracted, like, well, Brian Ford, who's a regular, Scott Smith, Casey Phillips, we had Simeon Rice, Ali Marpet, as Tim mentioned. It is phenomenal. And actually, here we are, 100 episodes now, and still going strong. But that is just a measure of how far this club has come in the last 10 years. It's an incredible club, and one that I particularly am extremely proud of. So, I look forward to the next 100,
So that's it. Thanks, guys. I hope you continue to have a lovely holiday. Don't get any more tanned. You're already disgustingly healthy.
Yeah. And we're off to New Orleans as well, so we'll give the lads on the field on Sunday a big cheer from the rest.
So that brings the end to episode 100. Thank you, guys, ever so much. As ever, we have to end with the usual thanks to you guys for watching. Make sure you like, subscribe. If you're in the UK, sign on up. Come and say hello. We do not bite. And of course, as ever, go Bucks!
Go Bucks!
Go Bucks!